present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello, and welcome to what is very sadly the last in the current series of the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph, read by Brian Perkins.
A couple queued for 2 hours to have China valued by the BBC's Antiques Roadshow in Ludlow, Shropshire, only to find they had brought a box containing their hibernating tortoise.
Thanks to Tim Parmenter of West Sussex for that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Francis Ween and Jeremy Hardy. And facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Sandy Toksvig. Before we start round one, here's a cutting from the journal Inside Housing.
Public toilets in Clackmannan are up for sale as a residential conversion because of new, better toilets 100 yards away. Clackmannan Shire Council, winner of an award for the best-kept toilets in Britain, said it does not keep toilets that are bog standard.
Thanks to Rod Yeoman of Crosby for sending that in. Francis, who was rebuked for a cane mutiny?
Ah, this is Spanker Shepherd, isn't it? The Education Secretary, who went on the Today programme and said she wanted to bring back the lash in schools. And whenever anyone prominent says things like this, you always get hordes of the most gruesome backbenchers popping up and saying, absolutely right too, I had a damn good hiding every day of my childhood, never did me any harm. And you look at them and you think, how can you say that? How can you say it never did you any harm when you ended up as a Tory MP? Anyway, John Major then slapped her down, as they say. Turns out he's anti-spanking because he had, according to the Times, a traumatic experience at school, at Rutledge Grammar School, when he was caned in front of the entire class for being sort of stupid and dithery and generally useless. And he didn't change his ways because of this, so he's concluded very wisely that it has no effect whatsoever, and he doesn't want an entire generation of children to grow up like him. So he's going to keep it illegal.
He was caned for failing to visit an industrial estate. And you think, well, nothing's really changed then, has it? As a child, he was set a task of visiting an industrial estate, and he refused and was caned for it. You think, oh, well, there we are. That's how things are now, isn't it?
I read that wasn't he caned for handing in his homework late?
Yes, he was supposed to go to an industrial estate, and he didn't go.
I mean, how long did it take him to do his homework? I think it's that. I was thinking about this story, and I thought it probably accounts for that strange configuration on his upper lip. Because if he were a very slow writer, it's what you do as a child, isn't it? It doesn't really work on radio, but listeners, I'm putting my tongue into my nostril now. It took John 8 hours to do the cat set on the mat.
Everyone is talking about loving discipline, which I find a bit strange. All these headmasters are being interviewed, and they say it's important to love the boys as you can, to administer loving caning. It's sort of where retribution meets pederasty, I think,
well,
caning.
It's what people pay rather high fees for in central London. Certain establishments, you can get loving discipline for about 50 quid a minute, I think.
Yeah.
How do you know this, Francis?
I think you'll find if you look in those telephone kiosks, there are little cards saying for those who haven't had the benefit of a proper education, you can catch up now by ringing Miss Whiplash.
Well, I'm a member of Harrow School, know that one.
I just find that annoying because they put them above the phone and I can't read them.
Mrs. Shepherd, known to colleagues as one of the biggest slappers in the house, was rebuked by John Major on her mobile phone. While she was travelling on a train, she gained huge public support from fellow passengers who called for public thrashing of all people who use mobile phones on trains. Jeremy, who is about to strike a blow for equal birthrights?
Is it royal thing?
It is.
Geoffrey Archer, Lord Archer, is introducing a bill to make women equal in the monarchy. He's decided to update the monarchy and bring them right into the 19th century. And he wants them to be modernised in as much as women will be able to succeed as much as men can. And this has great importance to Princess Anne, because at the moment she's got to wait for Prince Charles, his two sons, Edward, and the other one who looks like a copper, Andrew. you've got to wait for all of them to croak before she can succeed. Whereas if this bill comes in, her chances are much better, especially if when Charles is about to succeed to the throne, he says, do you know what, I don't fancy this, I'm going to go and work in the body shop. You come in, boys, and then she can become queen. And but what fascinates me is this has been discussed by the Queen's Way Ahead group. The Queen has a group called the Way Ahead group. Now, this group constitutes her husband and her children. Most of us might call this the family. We may have little family gatherings. She has a right-wing think tank. That's what it's about, is it?
Isn't it odd that Lord Archer's going to call it the primogeniture bill, which I thought was a longer word than he's ever had in any of his books.
Well, you doesn't your family have a name? I mean, ours is called Peace Through Progress. Sandy, why should the moral of the children's story be subject to contract?
This is a very difficult question. Let's get Janet to answer it, shall we? What does Janet want? Janet wants a new cap. And that's the only bit of Janet and John that I can remember, was that Janet was obsessed with getting a new cap. And
John was a bit
advanced. John was a bit ahead, I thought. This is the thing. We're supposed to have a lot more morality in the schools. We've had a moral forum, 150 people who got nothing better to do and obviously didn't want to go home, who got together, and it was basically decided that much more important than things like kindness and justice and sensitivity to the environment was marriage. And we were going to have the party of Cecil Parkinson and David Mellor telling us that this notion ought to be in every subject, including maths, apparently. I don't know how that works. 2 plus 2 equals a normal family. Would be a kind of typical maths lesson.
But this was commissioned by this man, Nick Tate, wasn't it? This Dr. Nick Tate. This was a man last year who said that that children need lessons in Englishness. They need to be taught... The same man. He said children need to be taught how to be English because children are walking around saying things like kicking and respect instead of very mild today, isn't it? And... lovely moist cake and things that children should say. It is the same Dr. Nick Tate, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It is, see, I know what I'm talking about. I'm a professional.
2 points to Sandy. Alan, listen to this. Panic on the Streets by the Smiths. Alan, who raised eyebrows by putting his union money on a riot?
Well, you don't really need quite as many clues as that. This is Major Healy, who, 51 years after his finest hour on the beaches, has now warned that if there's any hint of a single currency, people will riot in the streets. And he's absolutely right. During a recent reading of an amendment to the second finance bill, I got my shotgun out of the loft and the wife started filling the cellar with tin food against the conflagration. We set our dogs on several neighbours and the children joined the army. Only an economist could really believe that people would be at one another's throats in the streets. They were monetary union, but it was our great former pipsqueaking Chancellor.
We never had rioting in the streets when he was Chancellor of the Exchequer, mainly because the streets are just full of uncollected dustbin bags.
Yes, the story concerns Labour's last Chancellor, Lord Healy, and the EMU. He predicted rioting on the streets if Britain joined the European Monetary Union. The former Chancellor was speaking as the financial wizard who in the 70s got our rate of inflation to the lowest level ever seen in Argentina. And at the end of round one, the scores are Francis and Jeremy 4, Alan and Sandy 4. We start round two with an item spotted in the Daily Telegraph.
Workers building a new tourist attraction in Newcastle city centre have discovered a 300-year-old mass burial ground. The 1,000 bodies will be removed before work resumes on the Centre for Life.
Thanks to all the many people who sent that in. Francis, who put their faith in a logo?
It's Church of England, or God PLC, as it's now called, I think, who noticed that they're the last organisation of any kind left in Britain which hasn't spent a fortune hiring stupid image consultants to give it a new logo. So they did it. Got in these marketing whiz kids, and lots of focus groups were consulted, I think, and people with clipboards stopped shoppers outside Sainsbury's and said, what do you think of the Church of England? And after months of thinking and brainstorming, they came up with a logo which embodies the idea of church in a very real sense. It's a cross, which maybe nobody thought of it before, but it's a very good product brand image. And they're going to be, you know, all Church of England literature will now have this cross on it. It's going to be so that people know it's Church of England.
It's E. E for England.
It's got a little squiggle around it, which might be a C or might be an E. It's hard to tell.
It looks like a Pac-Man. Do you remember those early games, things looking at X? So do you think that they'll kind of branch out and kind of have, like, not places as big as churches, but, like, stop and pray? You could have kind of along the road. That'd be quite good.
It's going to be hard for the church in Wales. I've been doodling here, because the Church of England is going to have this cross with an E round. If you do the same thing to W, you get the Volkswagen logo. Why can't they just have a picture of a jar of homemade lemon curd? There's never a man on it, though, in the C of E. See, Catholics actually acknowledge what the cross is all about. So there's a man on it in the Catholic Church, because they know what it's about. But in the Church of England, they're very sort of... It's more of a symbol. They don't like it to actually be too graphic. They think, oh, no, we have a cross, which represents suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we don't really want a Jewish hippie nailed on it, thank you very much.
In response to recent sex scandals, the church asked the designer of the Marks and Spencer's logo to help restore its image. Despite his initial fears, he found it a very easy transition from the world of M&S to the world of S&M. Jeremy, your question. Who had a strange theory of relatives?
Yes. Albert Einstein's theory of relatives, effectively, is that when you die, there's an unseemly scrabble for your stuff. And they're all after his letters. All his descendants are after his letters. He appears to have been horrible, Albert Einstein. He appears to have been terrible, horrible to his wife, although that doesn't have any bearing on his skill as a footballer, obviously.
It was all about conservative family values, really. If you looked at those letters that he wrote to his wife, they were all about having dinner on the table after he came down from a hard day in the loft, coughing up E equals MC squared. And he had to treat her particularly nicely. And she shouldn't bring friends round who might distract him sexually. This strange thought of the wife walking down wherever it was, Courforce and Dumb, picking up women and bringing them home to distract her husband. Pencil buried in his stativaire, trying to work out thermodynamics or whatever it was.
But after...
To expressly put that into a letter to your wife saying, don't bring anybody home.
But when he sent her this letter saying, I reserve the right to go out to the pub and get blind drunk every night, and you mustn't expect any sign of affection from me ever, she left him 3 months later. Nobody knows why. He came... staggered home one day and saw this body leaving the house at the speed of light and never saw her again.
It makes Gaza look rather humane after a bit. Boycott seems to soften.
But I don't think we don't have her side of the story. I mean, it said you will leave the room the minute I ask you to, and we know that she left 3 months after she got the letter. Maybe she said, I'll think about it. I mean,
what's odd is all these very skillful and talented men who are appalling to their wives, and yet Jim Davidson's always been appalling to his wives and has no talent whatsoever.
2 points. Sandy, a piece of music for you.
Britannia, you are cool. Take a trip. Britain's ever, ever, ever shall be hip. Hit me, hit me.
Sandy, where should you head for a capital time?
I thought, first of all, I was going to think about the airline saying it's not cool to be royal anymore. This is Newsweek, apparently. The American magazines say, obviously written by Americans who don't live here, that London is the coolest place in the world. It's absolutely the chicest city to be in, and it's what it is. It's a lot of journalists from Manhattan who've spent 3 days in Islington, probably. I would imagine. And not toured the greater environs of the lovely parts of Hackney, perhaps.
Looking around us, I have to say to provincial people not blessed with being able to come to Broadcasting House here in London, I'm looking out into a sea of plastic mics and cagoules here. Supermarket carrier bags. There are some very cool and happening people here.
Newsweek magazine claimed that London was the world's most exciting city, as anyone who's experienced the adrenaline rush of trying to get a drink after 10:45 in the evening. The article marvelled at how the streets thronged with people all night long, often sleeping on the pavement or in doorways. No one to miss any excitement. Alan, where were royal ties renewed?
It was the Siamese stuff, and the Queen constantly changing her dress. They said in the Telegraph she changed her dress 4 times. And I had terrible thoughts about the monarch and her and perspiring problems, because they were all the same dress. She'd taken 4 blue floral prints and just kept changing into these things behind the screen, loyally carried by tie subjects. And she'd gone there because they have the oldest monarchy in the world, and he'd been there for 50 years, and she'd gone along to see how it was done.
It's also nice for them there, because isn't it against the law to say anything rude about a royal person in Thailand? So making a nice break for her, wouldn't it?
But it was weird, this strewing of petals on the ground, because normally a little schoolgirl goes up and gives her a bouquet. You don't really expect them to rip it up and throw it on the floor.
What's his name? I can't say it.
Bummy Bowl.
Like, it sounds like Bummy Bowl.
Well, I want it to be Bummy Bowl, even if it's not pronounced like that. You never get me saying Phuket.
Last time I met a prime minister who figured prominently, his name was Bum Suck Lee. She couldn't possibly have gone. It would have been impossible. It would have been all those captions.
I'm so delighted to meet you, Mr. Bum Suck Lee.
They were good, these costume changes, though, weren't they? I mean, she must have had to keep popping off to the lavatory and a lady in waiting.
I think she probably wore 4 and just stripped them off 1 at a time. She spent a great deal of time practicing by nicking stuff in Miss Selfridge. She comes out the size of the Queen Mother. And no one. Because she never carries any money anyway, she just nicks these floral prints all over London. She probably goes to Argos.
This was the royal visit to Thailand, where King Bhumibol has been on the throne for nearly 50 years. The Duke of Edinburgh expressed his sympathy, saying that spicy foreign food has the same effect. And the scores at the end of round 2 are everybody 8 points. And before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the South China Morning Post, sent in by Nicholas Clay of Northumberland.
Cockfighting is a way of life for many Filipinos, and the complaint that many husbands prefer to pamper their cocks rather than their wives is not an exaggeration.
Francis, which man is taking action over Action Man?
This is our colleague. Sometimes, Tony Banks, MP, who appears on this programme occasionally. But at the moment, he's putting down early day motions, trying to ban Action Man. I didn't know Action Man still existed, but apparently he does. And Tony Banks feels that he's not suitable for the caring 90s, and he wants them to produce a new doll called Socially Responsible Man, or something of the sort.
Or Inaction Man.
Yeah.
Well,
there's an Inaction
Man. He just waves his hands around and smiles a lot.
It's very difficult to work out whether boys are conditioned into being aggressive or not, because if you give them a My Little Pony, they'll chew it into the shape of a Kalashnikov. When I was young, we were conditioned to like war. All the books were like War and Killing for Boys, 100 Favourite Wars, and Paddington Invades Vietnam. Your parents have used this expression. If you're a boy, if you're a girl and you hurt your knee, they say, oh, poor little princess, are you all right? Oh, let's kiss it better. And then if you're a boy and you graze your knee, your parents say, you've been in the wars, which is a bit of an overstatement apart from anything else. I mean, if you came home from school with one lung and a tank track across your... dragging bits of barbed wire and writing poetry, you know, I mean, have some sense.
Do feel free to use this as a therapy session, Jeremy.
2 points to whoever got that right. Jeremy, listen to this piece of music. Jeremy, whose wife was a model of sexual safety?
Well, this would be the lovely Michael Howard, who has spent all week trying to discern the differences between different kinds of knife, and hasn't actually worked out that if something is advertised in Fighting and Stabbing magazine, it's probably not got the innocent applications of something advertised in Cutlery Today. This is a man who couldn't tell the difference between a lemon squeezer and a grenade, so... But his wife is a model, which isn't surprising, because no real woman would marry him. That's very unfair, because she's a very glamorous woman, because even the most repulsive Tories seem to manage to get the leg over with some very attractive women. And she is a very glamorous woman, and modelling is her life. That's her job. And one of the tabloids found a picture of her doing a modelling job where she had to embrace a man, not Michael Howard, for an article about embracing.
It was about safe sex.
Was it?
In Woman's Weekly, yeah.
Really? They had their clothes on, didn't they?
I thought Woman's Weekly was all knitting. How to knit yourself a condom.
Condoms are sometimes called conservatives. I've got a rather old-fashioned friend who calls them conservatives, and she used to tell her daughter, she said, now, if you go to bed with a man, make sure you have plenty of conservatives with you.
This is Michael Howard's wife, Sandra, formerly the model Sandra Paul, who was pictured in Women's Weekly in the arms of another man. Despite all the tabloid innuendo, the photograph was, of course, totally innocent, though Mr. Howard refused to accept that until he'd lost in the Court of Appeal. Sandy, how might a shortage on top be on the gender agenda?
Oh, blimey. How might a shortage...
Of how what? Might a shortage on top be on the gender?
Oh, it's... I hate to say this, it's next to Alan. It's bald men, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, shame, really. Sorry.
They're just flesh-coloured highlights. That's it.
Story. Brian Gould claimed that he's been able to make his hair regrow by hanging upside down for a minute every day. He just didn't say who was doing it to him, but oh golly, what?
It's actually about oestrogen.
That's it, oestrogen.
It's a complete pack of lies. Men have female hormones.
Yes, if you block.
I never find any falling hair in my bra when I take it off at night.
If you block the female hormone in men. They apparently grow their hair back and never make quiche again.
All these men with this... speaking as a man with a love, illustrious and full growth of hair...
tell us where you got it, Jeremy.
My team captain suffers this, shall we say, disfigurement.
Well, that's because... you've been hogging all the female hormones. Some of us missed
out. No, listen. It's because you, all these years, all you men have been saying, you bald men have been saying it's because we've got too much testosterone and that's why we have to spend all day stoking the barbecue and wearing tool belts. And it's not. You've got too much estrogen, which I think is the ladies' hormone, isn't it? Yeah, just a load of big girls. In fact, I think on the top of that rather round and plump dome, there's just like sign of a nipple there.
Right.
is the theory that male baldness may be caused by an excess of the estrogen hormone. Celebrities were asked to comment on the research. Bruce Forsyth denied it had ever taken place. Paul Daniels accepted it after long deliberation, but Robert Robinson just swept it to one side. Alan, who can't cook, won't cook electric.
This is a woman called Annette Rendell, who had a nasty experience in the kitchen about 12. She had something awful happened, unexpected, to one of her electrical appliances. I think the toaster worked. But something flew out of the toaster. But whatever it is, she found herself unable to cook with electric appliances. She comes over all of a doodah in the face of an electric stove. And the council has insisted that she convert... She got gas men in to put in gas stoves, and she'd been happily working on gas for years. Now the council's come by and said she's got to go back to electric. And I think she took an action out against the council in bold, saying, I want my old leaky gas pipes back. And they said, no, you can't have them. And she's got to have all these electric appliances. I hate to use the... I hate to use the word appliance at all. When you think of electrical appliances in women, you don't think about kitchens. It's been that kind of a news quiz, hasn't it? One of those really filthy gonadals down there. This poor woman can't cook anything. She's going to eat cold food from now on.
She said, I'd rather have no cooker than an electric cooker. Sad.
I agree with her. I think they're an appalling thing. Because when you go to turn something down that's over boiling, you can't. And you have to move it. I mean, this isn't really a phobia. This is more of a kvetch. But I think they're godless, hideous microwave devil's tumble dryer, I call it. But it's just what the council allocations do with phobic people. They think, oh, we've got somebody with vertigo. Right, 10th floor.
It is a strange story of Mrs. Annette Rendell, a woman in Bristol who was diagnosed as having a compulsive fear of electric cookers, a medical condition known technically as argophobia. Mrs. Rendell goes wobbly and incoherent every time she stands by a cooker. Her family say it's the best Keith Floyd impression they've ever seen. So before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
This is from the Cambridge Evening News. Not all the contestants on Chris Tarrant's new TV dating game show Man O Man were well behaved. Tarrant said, some women went wild and tried to pull the pants off a bodybuilder.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Francis Ween, Jeremy Hardy and Sandy Toksvig. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was by Ian Pattinson with Hugh Rycroft and Adam Bostock-Smith. The broadcast assistant was Carol Smith. And the producer was Alan Evans.